Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning and have an opportunity to share in God's Word. Have several travelers this morning, one of whom is Michael, our minister. They are out of town this morning, and so we wish them well on their travels. So instead of getting Michael, you get one of the backups. I want to talk this morning about faith. It's something that we talk about a lot. Over the years, we've heard many lessons about faith, both in our Sunday morning classes and in lessons that have been given from this pulpit. And that's a good thing. As Bob read to us a moment ago, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That sentence, we should think about that. We should be thinking about that. You can't please God without faith. That's what it says very clearly. So that's what we're going to talk about. Specifically, we're going to talk about Noah. Especially in the Old Testament, there were many men of God that we could talk about when we talk about faith. And a lot is said about them. In Hebrews chapter 11, which is many times called the faith chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, you know, is the love chapter. Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. And we can learn much from the examples that are given to us throughout the Bible, but especially in this chapter. And we want to talk specifically this morning about Noah. The 11th chapter of Hebrews is often referred to as the faith chapter of the Bible, and with very good reason. Beginning in verse 4 from Abel, Enoch in verse 5, Noah in verse 7, Abraham in verse 8, through a lot of other believers that it talks about in the last part of that chapter, God lists people that have served him through their faith. And the key to their approval with God is found in the faith that's described in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Here's what they believed. First, they believed that God is. It's just that simple. They believed that God exists, that he's the creator of the world, and also sent a savior of the world. You believe that God is the creator, and he rewards, it says, rewards those who seek him. Because they believed God, they did what God told them to do. It's just that simple. These patriarchs in the Old Testament, they believed God, and they did what he told them to do, exactly like we should do today. They were people of faith. And if we looked a little bit further in that chapter, find where I'm at here. What more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and were made strong out of weakness. became mighty in war and put foreign armies to flight. It's just some of the things that it talked about that these men of old were able to do through faith. You ever made a mistake? Well, I know we've all made mistakes. But have you ever made a mistake so bad you just look back, shake your head, and go, why did I do that? I should not have done that. It might be something you said. You might just say, boy, I wish I hadn't said that. Well, God did. God did that. And I'm not saying God made mistakes. I don't know that he did. I've heard it said before, God didn't make junk. I believe that. But we're going to talk about a time when God tells us about something he did that he wish he hadn't done. Let's go back to Genesis. I'm talking about Noah here. Let's go back to Genesis, the book of Genesis, and in chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 5. It says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You know, we think we got it bad today. We think the world's bad today. If you watch the news, hard to watch sometimes. There's so much corruption, so much evil in the world today. But we're going to read here in a minute that it was so bad back then that God only saved 8 souls. I would hope today there'd be more than 8 souls that would be, that God would say these are worth keeping, you know. But what it says, every intention of their thoughts was only evil. And then here's where God admits he might have been wrong. I don't know. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth. That's a sad statement there. When he looked at the earth and said, I'm sorry I created this bunch. It was so bad. That's what he said. He regretted that he had made man, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I'll blot out man that I've created from the face of the land, the man and the animals, the creeping things, the birds of the field. I'm sorry that I have made them. When you really think about that, that is a bad state of affairs. You wonder sometimes when we see what's happening in the world today, how long is God going to let this go on? Sometime, sooner or later, sometime he's going to say enough is enough. I need to put an end to all this. That's what he said here. But when he said, right after he said, I'm sorry that I made them, then there's another verse there that's just hugely important. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. It's hard for me to say that because, like a lot of you, I learned that verse probably very early in my life. And I learned it that Noah, in its King James Version, says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Perhaps because we've learned that song, you know, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord and he landed by and by. A lot of us know that song. But really, that's what grace is. It's favor, unmerited favor. It's a gift that God gave to Noah, gives to us, that we don't deserve it. We can't work enough. We can't do enough good things to obtain the salvation that God offers to us, that Christ offers to us. We can't. We can't do that much. We can, when we go out here and we work, we do a job, we get paid for doing that job. You're just paid what's owed you. That's not favor here. Here we get a free gift. And Noah Noah, the Bible tells us, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In Noah's life, especially his response to God, we find a pattern that we should emulate. We find a pattern that we should follow the example of him. You know, took a lot of faith. There's evidence. There's some Bible scholars that would tell you it hadn't rained on the earth up to this time. Now, I'm not going to get into that argument today. I don't know for sure. There's different commentators say different things about it. You'll find in the creation, there's a verse, and it says there was a mist came up out of the ground that watered the earth. Well, I don't know. It doesn't sound like it's talking about rain. I don't know exactly what was going on. But regardless, like I said, I'm not going to get into that discussion today. But it hadn't rained before like it's getting ready to rain. We know that. But Noah trusted the word of God and prepared for what was going to happen. There was evil and immorality and evil abounded around Noah, but he still worshiped God because he lived by faith. Noah lived by faith. When this great flood came, and we know Noah did what he was told, his faith wasn't weakened. His faith was not weakened. We go back to Genesis chapter 6. The earth was corrupt in God's sight. The earth was filled with violence. Sounds like the 10 o'clock news. God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I'm determined to make an end to all flesh. For the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. That's important. He told him what kind of wood to make it out of. And what did Noah do? He made the ark out of gopher wood. He did exactly like God told him. He told him how to put rooms in the ark. He told him exactly what size to make it. And he said, I'm going to bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, in which the breath of life under heaven, everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, your sons' wives. And then he tells him to bring two of every kind, male and female, two of every living creature, and birds. Then the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you know, your household. And this is a huge statement that he makes here. For I have seen that you are righteous before me. Noah and his family were righteous. If you're looking in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22, it says Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. After God tells him to get his family and go into the ark, in verse 5, it says, and Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. Down in verse 9, talked about the animals, talked about everything that went into the ark. They went in to the ark with Noah as God had commanded Noah. Are you getting the picture here? That faith that he had was an obedient faith. The same kind of faith that we should have. It's one thing to believe God is real, that God exists. There are a lot of people that say they on the earth that say they believe in God. But you have to have an obedient faith. We're going to talk about what God tells us we need to do. What he told Noah he needed to do. It tells us over and over again. Noah did what God commanded him. He did what God commanded him. Noah's faith was totally in something that's unseen. I mean, our faith is that way also. But Noah had never seen God. He had no ark to use as a pattern. How do you build an ark? He didn't have a pattern. He had never seen a flood. He had never needed a boat. With all of his human experience and his wisdom, he couldn't see how all this would end. He could only trust God, and that's what he did. That's why the scriptures say Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God knew Noah better than Noah knew Noah. Noah looked at the unseen, and he trusted what was invisible. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." That's the important thing we need to remember that Noah knew and practiced, and we need to remember it. Faith in the unseen is necessary if we would understand anything about the history and the purpose of mankind. In Hebrews 11:3, back to that same chapter, "By faith we understand that the worlds have been framed by the word of God, so that what is seen hath not been made out of things which appear." God made this earth out of nothing. He didn't need anything. And we have to believe that. The statement that I just read echoes what the psalmist wrote in Psalms 33 and verse 6. "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." God could just say, "Let this be," and it would happen. So the scriptures say Noah was moved with godly fear to do all that God commanded him. Reverently, he listened to the instructions of God. He listened to what God told him, and he didn't question God's directives. God said, "Go for wood." Noah used "go for wood." You know, in Ecclesiastes 12, chapter 12 and verse 13, we're told, "Fear God and keep his commandments is the whole duty of man." Fear God and keep his commandments is the whole duty of man. Noah evidently knew that. He hadn't read it. He hadn't seen that, but he knew it. When he looked at all the instructions that God gave him that he should obey, he didn't pick one out and say, "Oh, I don't think we have to do that." He didn't say, I don't think we have to do this. He just did everything that God told him. We need to remember that. Having received these instructions, he carefully, cautiously did all that God required of him. He built the ark according to the pattern that God gave him. His is a real example of faith which works by love. In the example of Noah, we can see faith in action. In fact, that's the only kind of faith we see. In James 2 and 18, "Yea, a man will say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith apart from thy works, and I by my works will show thee my faith." God's grace presented the plan for saving Noah, and the faith that was appropriated to him by grace by his response. By faith, Noah prepared an ark. That's the way God's grace has always worked. It's the way it's always worked. In Titus, Paul wrote, "The grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation unto all men, instructing us to the intent that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, We should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. God's grace teaches us through his word, just as was true with Noah. Noah heard, believed, and fully obeyed God. He heard, he believed, and obeyed everything God says, and that hasn't changed. That pattern hasn't changed for us. It's what we need to do. You see, Noah is a type of our salvation. Noah is a type of salvation. The saving of his house. That phrase, the saving of his house, shows the result of Noah's obedient faith. It was by that obedient faith that he became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Switch back to Hebrews here, and in verse 10. In chapter 10 and verse 1 of Hebrews, God told us, "For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities, it can never by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year make perfect those who draw near." The old animal sacrifices in the old law in the Old Testament, it could never take away sin. It could never take away sin. It took the blood of a perfect man, Jesus Christ, to be able to do that. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, we read, "When the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah," the long-suffering of God, he watched what was going on this earth for a long time before he decided enough is enough. And then we know what happened after that. "When the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved through water, which also after a true likeness doth now save you, even baptism." You see the comparison there that the writer of Hebrews is making between what happened at that flood, when Noah was saved by grace through faith, to the resurrection of Jesus Christ and baptism doth now save us. He said, now save you even baptism, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Nobody ever thought that there's anything in the water that's going to save us. There's nothing in the water that's going to save you. It's just water. But it's the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We talked about this a little bit in our class this morning. The waters of baptism are a type of, it's like the blood of Christ that washes away sins. The water doesn't wash away anything. The obedience to God's, the obedience to what God asks us to do, that's what washes away the sins. Confession, repentance. You know, we say a lot, the steps to baptism: hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and live a faithful life. Remember when we talked about Noah, when he built the ark, he didn't leave anything out. He followed every instruction that God said. Every one of them. He didn't leave anything out. So when you think about the gospel truth, hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, you can't leave any of those out. Faith has to be an obedient faith. To say that I believe God is, well, that's great. But you know, Noah proclaimed his faith. Everybody that knew Noah, now I can imagine the neighbors were kind of scoffing at Noah when he started building an ark on dry land, you know, and saying, well, there's going to be a flood, so we got to have a boat. We got to have an ark, and I'm going to build one. I imagine some of the neighbors laughed a little bit at Noah. And Noah was faithful, and he followed every detail, and he ended up with a boat that would hold him and every animal, him and his family and every animal they needed to save. Noah was saved by grace through faith, but not by water. It was in water that his faith became obedient. In the same way, none of us, we cannot claim that the water in baptism actually washes away sins, not by any property in the water. But it is when we submit to the Lord's will in baptism that he cleanses us. Just as the animal sacrifices were a shadow or a type of the true sacrifice, which was Jesus Christ, so the salvation of Noah is a type or a shadow of our salvation when we're baptized. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." That's Mark 16:16. And that's simple and to the point. Yet many people reject what the Lord said. The reason they do is they don't really believe Jesus. Noah believed God. He not only believed that God is, but he also believed that God is a rewarder of those who seek him. In other words, when God told Noah to build an ark, Noah obeyed. He believed God would reward his obedience of faith. And it says that in Romans 1:5. When people on Pentecost were told, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you," those that accepted the word of God, three verses later in verse 41, what did they do? They were baptized. Saul believed. The Lord sent Ananias to Saul, told him what to do. Ananias told Saul, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." That's what Saul did. He believed that, and we know the rest of that story. Noah's obedience demonstrated his faith, just as our obedience demonstrates our faith. Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We can never show faith in Christ if we're not willing to accept his plan, if we're not willing to accept his very plain words that he gave us. It's in baptism that we accept God's grace, by obedient faith. Galatians 3:27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ." No matter how much Noah may have proclaimed his faith in God, until he did what God told him, he was not saved by grace through faith. Not until he did what God told him to do. And the same is true with us. We need to all, by faith, learn God's will for us and do it. Do what God said. Don't leave anything out. Don't try to change it. Believe his word. You know, we can learn from a lot of people in the Bible, in addition to Noah, that there's a lot of people there that their faith could inspire us. It took tremendous faith, courage, loyalty, and dedication for Noah to take a stand for God's truth. We live in an age that also calls for full commitment. We need to build in our hearts a faith that never dies. You know, I started by saying we were going to talk about faith, and it's been talked about a lot. We could talk about it a lot more. We could talk about it for hours and hours. If you start looking for faith, things about faith in the Bible, you'll wear yourself out looking up scriptures. It's full of things about faith. But just like Bob read a while ago, and without faith, it's impossible to please him. So that tells us how it's impossible to please him if we don't have faith. That's how important it is. With that, we'll close. And if you have a need that you'd like to make known to the congregation, we would invite you to come forward during the invitation song and make that known. If you have a desire to be baptized, we are able to do that. If you would like to take that step and follow the commandments of God and do that, we would invite you to do that. If you're subject to the invitation, we'd invite you to come while we sing.